The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again to God Calling. We have a very special guest today and a guy with a smile as big as Lake Erie right now sitting across from me, and that is Father Michael Woost. Father, you're the bishop-elect now. Congratulations. This is wonderful.
Thanks very much, Paul. It's pretty exciting.
Obviously, we'll talk about your vocation, but this is the giant in front of us right now, your new job. And did you get the call that all of the bishops say that they are you alone?
Yes, yeah. On Sunday, May 1st, in the afternoon, I had just returned to the seminary from celebrating Mass at St. Mark's Parish on the west side of Cleveland, right, where I help out. And the phone rang in my room at the seminary, and when I answered it, on the other end of the line, I heard, "Hello, Father Woost, this is Archbishop Christophe Pierre, the Apostolic Nuncio calling."
Oh, boy.
"How are you today?" He must have noticed some hesitancy in my voice.
What have I done?
Yeah, because he said, "Are you really fine?" And I said, "Yes, Archbishop, I am." And then he said, "Are you alone? Can you talk?"
Uh-huh.
And then I told him yes, and he said, "I'm calling on behalf of His Holiness Pope Francis. He's appointed you the Auxiliary Bishop of the Diocese of Cleveland." And I went dead silent. And after a few moments, he said to me, "Hello, are you still there?" I'm like, "Yes, Archbishop, I am." It was a pretty amazing moment.
It's got to be like a ton of bravery, like a kick in the head or something, or yeah. I mean, in a good way, but yeah.
Just something clear out of the blue, something that I was not anticipating.
There's no hint at all. No, you don't apply for it. You don't
apply for it. Yeah, not at all. Yeah,
yeah.
It came as a big surprise.
Will your role change here in the diocese?
It will. It will.
You're at the seminary.
For the past 22 years, I've been on the faculty at the seminary, teaching the courses in liturgical and sacramental theology. And I've served as the director of liturgy and the dean of students for St. Mary's Seminary also. So all of those responsibilities are going to change. Bishop Molesic is allowing me to remain in residence at the seminary so that I can continue to have contact with the seminarians and mm-hmm. the other students that we have in our other formation programs. And I'll be able to teach one course a semester. But beyond that, most of my responsibilities are going to be much more diocesan-wide. So the bishop appointed me a couple of months ago to be the interim director of the Office for Worship, since my background is in liturgical theology.
Right.
So I will continue working in that office, at least until we get a full-time director. And I'll be assuming whatever responsibilities the bishop wants me to do as his auxiliary.
Mm-hmm. Lots of confirmations in this diocese.
Lots of confirmations,
and it's
for
a big,
sure.
It's geographically, it's a big chunk of Ohio.
Right, it is. I'll probably be doing a lot of traveling around the diocese, no doubt.
Which is probably a good thing because, you know, I've never been to a church in Worcester, let's say, or many of these. And mm-hmm. then I tend to be Cleveland-centered, and I've got to broaden out Cuyahoga County, Lorain County, and maybe Lake County. But other than that, great experience, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it will be. I was vocation director for the diocese for a number of years after my first assignment mm-hmm. at Immaculate Conception Parish in Madison. And that, as a diocesan position, got me out into the diocese and visiting a lot of parishes and schools. So I learned from that experience, you know, how diverse our diocese is mm-hmm. and what a great community, what a great church we have here in Cleveland.
For sure. For sure. Well, the name of the show is God Calling, but I had to talk about this first.
Sure.
Tell me about growing up, Father. Where'd you grow up?
So my family is originally from Cleveland. Most of us were born here in Cleveland. I'm the second oldest of seven boys. I have six brothers. So we did do some moving when I was younger. My family lived in Elkhart, Indiana for about 5 years. We moved back to Cleveland. After I graduated from St. Ignatius High School, my family moved to Georgia. We lived there for about 4 or 5 years, and then they moved to North Carolina, to Hickory, North Carolina. And about a year and a half before I was ordained a priest for Cleveland, because I remained here in Cleveland while my family was moving around, my family moved back to Cleveland. And we lived in Columbia Station, belonged to St. Mary the Falls Parish in Olmsted Falls. So we did a lot of moving, but family's always been really important.
Yeah. I know you. When your family, one of the moves, I forgot which one, you stayed at St. Ignatius. That was important to you to continue
well,
there.
Well, I actually, my first 2 years of high school, I went to Mishawaka Marian High School. It was a high school that was run by the Holy Cross Fathers and Brothers, right outside of South Bend, the University of Notre Dame.
Oh,
so
sure.
That's when my family was living in Elkhart. We moved back here right before my junior year, so I spent my last 2 years at Ignatius, and it was right after graduating from Ignatius that the family moved to Georgia, and I came back up here in the fall of that year to start the seminary. So I went to Borromeo College here in Cleveland and then continued on to St. Mary's to be ordained here for the diocese. And it was great that God brought my family back to Cleveland before my ordination. So,
what's the reaction of family members? You have two brothers that are priests.
What, I do, yeah. Actually, they're pretty excited about all of this.
I bet.
Yeah. I had to keep the announcement secret for a week. I couldn't tell anyone
other than
Bishop Malesic.
That would kill me.
So the day before it was announced here in Cleveland on Monday, May 9th, after I was finished with Masses at St. Mark's, I went to St. Brendan's to see my brother Tom, who's the pastor there, and to tell him. And then after spending some time with Tom, I drove to Divine Word in Kirtland to tell my brother David, who's the pastor there.
Right.
And both of them were very excited about it. They wanted to know if they could announce it on Monday morning at their parish masses, which they both did. And I guess there was quite a reaction from the parishioners
about it.
Just a lot of excitement there as well. And then that Sunday afternoon, I spent a good part of the Sunday afternoon just getting in touch with the rest of my brothers and letting them know that the announcement was going to be made the next day. And so my family has always been really supportive of what I'm doing. And of course, they're very supportive and very excited about this.
You know, it's been said that vocations begin at home. I absolutely think that's true. Yeah. When we come back on God Calling, we're going to talk about that. Stay with us. Thanks for staying tuned. This is Paul Orlowski on God Calling. Father Michael Woost, soon to be Bishop Michael Woost, is joining us on God Calling. And before we took the break, Father, we talked about vocations, and I've heard it said many times and heard it on this show from people who about their vocations that the religious vocations begin at home. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's true. You know, a lot of people wonder, how is it that our family developed, you know, three vocations to the priesthood? And actually, I have a younger brother, John, who is married, who just began the formation program for the permanent diaconate here in the Diocese of Cleveland also.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. We're excited about that. You know, people think, you know, you must have had a really holy family to produce all these vocations. But our family was pretty normal. You know, we did not engage in like family prayer every night or anything like that. Going to Mass on Sundays was really important. We always did that as a family. My parents were very dedicated to Catholic education, made a lot of sacrifices to make sure that we had the opportunity to attend Catholic schools. You know, we prayed as a family before meals, before bedtime. My parents, you know, kind of witnessed to the faith in very quiet and simple ways to us, you know. But I think that's really what planted the seeds, a real love for the church and a real commitment to being involved in the church community.
Example is everything.
Indeed. Yeah, for sure. So when I decided to go into the seminary, I had been thinking about it for years. Actually, I think my vocation started when I was in kindergarten. My family was living at Our Lady of Angels Parish, and at that time, the Franciscans had been staffing it.
All right.
the witness of the priests who were there at the parish certainly had a big effect upon me, but I never said anything about the possibility of becoming a priest as I was growing up. It wasn't until I was a senior in high school at Ignatius that I ever told anyone that that's what I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. But when I told my parents, they said they weren't surprised.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. They said that they always saw that in me. And so they weren't surprised. And they were very supportive. And actually, after we moved to Georgia and I was getting ready to come back to go to Borromeo, I can remember sitting down with my parents the day I was leaving to come back to the seminary and my mom and dad saying to me, you know, we're really proud of you, but if you get to the seminary and you decide it's not for you, we're not going to be disappointed. You mm-hmm. need to do whatever it is God is leading you to, you know, in your life. And that's the way they've always been for us. They're always very, very supportive. In the last years of her life, my mom, especially after Tom was ordained to the priesthood, right. You know, the third of the brothers, she became a little bit of a celebrity because she was, you know, asked to do radio interviews and she had a magazine article written about her and vocations in our family and everything. But one of the things my mom always used to say when she would talk to people is, I'm proud of all of my boys, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the way my parents were, always encouraging us to pursue whatever it was that we believe God was calling us to and whatever we believe would help us to be, you know, experiencing a meaningful and joyful life.
Well, the seminary is a long and arduous road. It's probably important to know that it's okay if this is not, because you don't want to continue just to make somebody else happy.
Right, exactly.
Is that advice you share from time to time with some of the seminarians?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think today, you know, many of our seminarians, certainly they come with a lot of support of families. Mm-hmm. But there are some times when guys come in where their families are not quite sure about what it is that they're doing and whether or not this is the right choice that they're making. A lot of times, though, what happens is as families and especially as parents come to experience the seminary community and they see the positive effect that it's having upon their sons, they really get kind of won over mm-hmm. to what their sons are committing themselves to. Because especially if they see their sons really experiencing a sense of joy and happiness and a sense of peace and purposefulness for their lives, then they become very supportive of what it is that they're doing. So that by the time their ordination day arrives, you see the families are really, really excited.
Right. In talking to folks over time, many talk about, not in a negative way, but a kind of a nagging kind of, there's something there that, what is God calling me to do? That started in kindergarten?
It did, yeah. For me, it did. And it was always kind of there at the back of my mind. All of us have a different path that we take. Like when my brother David announced that he was going to go into the seminary, we were all surprised.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And David would say that himself. I'm not telling any stories out of school here.
Okay.
because he would say that the reaction he got from the family was pretty surprising because nobody ever thought that David would think about doing this. When one of my friends who was in the seminary with me got to know David and they became friends, there was a point in time where he had said to him, you know, have you ever thought about going into the seminary? And David's response was, well, that's fine for you and Mike, but that's not for me. But for him, the question never went away. Uh-huh. And it was one of those kind of nagging things. And he finally decided, you know, I have to at least test this out and see if this is for me. And David, actually, both he and Tom are probably two of the happiest people that I know. I mean, they really love the parishes that they're at and the people really love them.
I'm old. But in my day, all the grandmothers to the grandsons, why don't you become a priest? I don't know if people do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they do, to tell you the truth. You know, I think nowadays most people are probably oriented more towards a sense of success based upon the kind of salary you're going to mm-hmm. receive or the kind of elite position you might achieve in life, mm-hmm. you know, and the whole idea of dedicating your life to the service of others is not something that's oftentimes attractive to people. And yet, at the seminary, what we strive for is, you know, make your life meaningful. Make your life the kind of life that's going to make a difference in the lives of other people. And see this proclamation of the gospel, this living out of our relationship with Christ and inviting others to experience that as a way of really being able to live a meaningful life and a joy-filled life.
You talked about your brother Dave and that kind of coming out of the blue. How about number three, Tom?
Tom. It didn't surprise us when he decided to go into the seminary. He went to Holy Name High School during the time that he was in high school. You know, I think we saw in him, you know, a real sense of spirituality, somebody who was really kind of exploring his own relationship with God. So by the time he graduated as a senior and announced that he was going to go to the seminary, we weren't too surprised by that.
In the seminary, are there times of, am I doing the right thing? I mean, it's a long and arduous journey.
Four years at Borromeo, college. You get a college degree at the end of that, and then 5 years at St. Mary's graduate studies. So it is a long period of time, and it's not unusual for any of us going through the seminary at some point or another to question, am I doing the right thing? Is this what God is really calling me to? The great thing is that you have a community there of seminarians, of priests and lay and religious faculty who are really supportive. Our concern is to help guys to discern, is this what God is asking you to do or not? And all we want is just to make sure that if guys do continue on and are ordained, that they're committed to living this life. And if they come to discover along the way that this isn't what God's calling them to, that God's calling them to marriage, to single life, to some other way in which they can serve, then we're supportive of that. And,
that's okay.
And we will encourage them.
No arm twisting.
No arm twisting. Yeah.
But the message goes with them if they do go out the door that they find another way to serve God.
Yeah. One of my best friends in the seminary when I was at St. Mary's was only there for about a year and a half. And even to this day, when we get together, he is wont to say, you know, seminary changed my life. It made me a much better person. It made me a more dedicated Christian. And it certainly helped him, you know, as a husband and a father, you know, and continues to grow in his faith with his family.
Bishop-elect, stay right there. We'll be back after this on God Calling. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Bishop-elect Michael Woos joining us on God Calling today. This is Paul Orlowski. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this same time on AM 1260 The Rock. The moves, your family moves, your dad's was transferred here and there. How tough were those moves?
You know, for me, it wasn't too bad. Actually, I think the moves in my life were really a part of the grace of God. When my family moved from the west side of Cleveland to Indiana, we moved into a very rural area. It was a new housing development. Our house was surrounded by forests and fields. We had a creek right across the street. It was, you know, we went from a very much enclosed Cleveland West Side neighborhood to this just vista of nature. And I think that for me at least, really helped to expand my experience of God and my own spirituality. Oftentimes as a kid, you know, in junior high school, you know, I'd find myself getting up pretty early in the morning and just going out walking in the fields. And oftentimes those became real moments of prayer for me, and I think helped to kind of consolidate my own relationship with God. So the moves help you to recognize the importance of remaining grounded in family. For me, it helped to help me to recognize the importance of being grounded in faith. In my own relationship with God, that's what provided stability, you know, in the midst of all the moving around. My younger brothers went through a lot more moves than I did.
Cleveland, years ago, was often called the cradle of bishops because we had so many bishops and come from Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Is there anything special now that between now and August 4th you have to do or to prepare for this or... What's next?
Yeah, there's a lot of preparation. So Bishop Molesik and I have had a number of conversations. You know, he's kind of guiding me into moving into this new position. I'm going with him next week to the USCCB meeting in San Diego. So that'll be my first experience of being present with the National Conference of Bishops. At the end of this month, I'll go on retreat for a week. Prior to ordination, to diaconate, to priesthood, to becoming a bishop, the church requires a time of retreat, a time of prayerful preparation. So I'm looking forward to that. Bishop Marty Amos is going to act as my retreat director.
Wonderful.
For that time that I'm gonna be on retreat. And then there's just a lot of preparation with regard to the liturgy, you know, and kind of pulling that together because we really want this to be a diocesan celebration. It's, you know, it's not about me. It's about our church. It's about our family of faith. It's about celebrating the faith here in the Diocese of Cleveland and just all of God's blessings to us.
Now, you've got quite an example in front of you. How are you going to keep up with Bishop Grease?
Yeah. Actually, it was funny. One of my conversations with Bishop Roger over the course of the past couple of weeks, he told me, he said, Mike, you're being ordained at the same age that I was ordained, a bishop. And I'm like, oh, so you're telling me I have a long way to go before retirement, because he is so active. He's
really
been
is.
Such a blessing to our diocese.
Yeah, he's been a guest on the show, and we had just had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
So your family has served the diocese in three ways, through parishes, schools, and of course, formation,
right.
You at the seminary. What a blessing. And is your dad still around? Your mom is gone.
Both of my parents are gone. My father died in 1988, right
okay.
before Tom went into the seminary, and mom died in 2015, so not too long ago. So both of them have gone on to their heavenly reward, and we're sure that that's where they're at. And I'm pretty sure that they had something to do with this appointment, you know, being
saying
a bishop.
Some extra prayers, huh?
Yes, I think so.
You say a lot of this started around the dinner table, just with discussion, simple
right.
talk, a bunch of kids and mom and dad and an example.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I think that's really where the faith of our family would develop, was around the dinner table. That was something that was really important to my parents, is that every night, you know, if we didn't have something else going on, we would come together as a family to eat a meal. Sundays were absolutely sacrosanct.
Mm-hmm.
After church in the morning, we would come home. My mom and dad would fix, you know, Sunday dinner, and the expectation was you were there
You'd be
for
there.
Sunday dinner.
Exactly.
You know, and that's where we talked about what was going on in our lives, what we experienced at school, just things that were happening to us, things that we were hoping for, what was going to be happening during the course of the week. That's where I think we really came together as a family and really bonded. We have a very strong relationship, my brothers and I,
mm-hmm.
and that's all because of the example that my parents set for us. And so it's important for us even today. You know, we try to get together as much as we possibly can as a family, just to be able to enjoy one another's company.
Yeah. Well, your parents are smiling down on you, that's for sure.
Yeah.
As well as the whole family, as your mom said, right? I'm proud of all my boys.
That's right.
Yeah, very important. Absolutely. Yeah. Again, your preparation, what happens after the ordination? You've talked some about your duties, but there's got to be a, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? A kind of a get to know the job sort of a thing. Okay, now I'm the auxiliary bishop now. What do I do?
Exactly. Well, Bishop Malesic has told me he's giving me a year to get my Episcopal legs. So it's going to be kind of like on the job learning.
Uh-huh.
But he's told me there's what is referred to as baby bishop school in Rome.
Oh,
so
okay.
At some point I'm going to have to go to Rome just to be able to find out what the expectations are,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the Vatican with regard to the responsibilities that I will have as a bishop. And the USCCB also offers some kind of training for new bishops. So I'll be probably participating in some kind of a conference with them. But mostly it's going to be just working with Bishop Malesic and trying to see how I can help him in shepherding the people of the diocese. Yeah, it'll probably be on the job learning more than anything else.
Baby bishop school. I never heard of that.
Yeah.
That's great. Bishop-elect, thank you for joining us. This is wonderful. And that smile that I referred to earlier hasn't left the entire program for those listening and who can't see us right now. But anyway, thanks for joining us. This is God Calling. We hope that you'll join us each and every week at the same time, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program, or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.